all of it.
Okay. You got it. It's not what you've got here. It's what you leave.
That's all.
And Grace Community Church, thank you. Over the years, you have been actively involved in the work in Uganda, and you have done just a tremendous work. No, thank you. But there's a scripture I like where it talks about, and her children will rise up and call her blessed. See, you are blessing a nation that don't even know you exist. Certainly don't know where Stonebridge is. Stonebridge. But you're touching their life. So I just want to say thank you so much. I'm always humbled whenever we go to see. So he's shown you that picture. The big idea is something like the top floor can hold, they reckon, 500 chickens, but we will got the money to buy 250 chickens. And then you just, every 5-7 weeks or something, the cycle, you buy them in, cut them up, sell them on. And you make a little bit of profit each time. Because the big idea is to make them self-sufficient. Right. Yeah, we can't keep sending money. Well, hopefully, by the grace of God, but we can't guarantee that. The idea is to enable them to care for themselves. So chickens upstairs, 100 goats downstairs. Now, there is something you want to think about. Be glad you're a chicken and not a goat. No, you've not worked that one out? Chickens upstairs, goats downstairs. Be glad you're not a goat. All right. Sometimes you feel like you are, but all right, shall we, before I get in trouble, Father, we give you praise and we bless you for being such a wonderful God. Today we have sung your praise that we could not put a price, a value on the loving care and tender mercy we have received from your hand. How you daily load us down with benefits, how we are blessed. And we just want to give you praise. We want to just thank you. So often, thank you sounds so hollow and empty. Thank you for the cross. And yet we cannot imagine the pain that you went through. Thank you that you gave your life. And yet it sounds so hollow. But Lord, the best we can offer you is a heart that's appreciative, thankful, loving, surrendered. And for that, we ask now as we bow before you, sovereign Lord, come by your Spirit, speak to our heart. Come and take up your rightful place in our life. Lord, those things which you need to touch, we say you are more than welcome. Open the eyes of our understanding. Give us grant revelation. Let the light go on. Let the darkness be dispelled. Be glorified. Be honoured. And we will be jealous to give you thanks, to give you praise, and to give you all the glory. In the name of Jesus we ask it, and we thank you now. And the people of God say, Amen. So I don't know if you remember, last time I came, I told you that this one of the series we was going to preach there was surviving in a crisis, remember? I don't know if you remember the four things I said. No. Well, the first one is remember. That's what I preached here. Remember. Resist. Rejoice. Rest. That's not that hard, is it? In a crisis, if you could kind of work these four things in, you will do well. Remember? Because sometimes in the crisis you can't see a way forward, you can't even necessarily see where you are, but you can look back and see the goodness of God. Resist, because the God will always keep coming back. And every time you slap up the side of the head, he comes back. Maybe because you've been slapped up the side of the head so many times. But Jesus, remember? Jesus slaps up the side of the head,
he goes away and looks for more opportune time. He didn't give up. So that's why you see the agony in the garden. Rejoice. The devil hates someone who praises in the midst of the trouble. That's where we're going to go today. And rest. And I think, do you know what? The Bible talks about a Sabbath day's rest in the kingdom of God. There is a rest of faith, which is not kind of, and we'll go there again today as well. So, Father, come. How do you eat an elephant?
One
mouthful at a time. So we're going to eat an elephant today, so buckle up and off we go, yeah? 1 Peter. I'm alright, I've got it written down here, you see. You're not getting it. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Contemporary English version reads like this. Dear friends, do not be surprised or shocked that you are going through testing. That is like walking through fire. But remember that text from last time, which was John 16:33, where Jesus said, in this world you will have. In this world you will have. Remember how you were speaking in tongues last time? Philippians. T-H-L-I-P-S-I-S. Philippians. In this world, you will have trouble. But be of good cheer, for I have overcome the world. And we'll go there. But sometimes it does feel like you're walking through fire. Note the word in there, testing, so we'll come back to that. 1 Peter again, chapter 1, verses 6 and 7. In this you greatly rejoice. Yes, you don't preach these ones. Though now for a little while, if need be, you have been grieved, distressed by various trials, that the genuineness of your faith, which is much more precious than gold, though it is tested by fire, may be found to praise and honour and glory at the appearing of the Lord Jesus Christ. So now we are being tribulated, trialed and tested. The one thing about a test is the results. They determine where you are. My little grandbaby just got his SATs. He's up and right. But they test determined where he was. Look at me, smile. That's why you go through the things that you go through. No one imagine it now. He did all three, by the way. Don't get that. Don't get all three. But we believe in redemption. We believe that what the devil needs for harm, God can use. Think of Joseph and his brothers. Did God send Joseph to Egypt? No. Did God have a plan? Yes. Did God work all things together to the good? Yes. Joseph turns around and says, you didn't send me here, God sent me here. So God turns all things together to the good. We don't necessarily all flow. I do not believe God authors evil. Yes, he's got it to offer. He's a good God. But he can redeem it. He can turn it. So that all things work together for his purpose. And we'll come back to that, hopefully, as we go along. As we are going through, something happens. Say, something happens.
Something
happens. Good. Romans chapter 5, verses 3 through 5. This is even worse, this one. Ready? We glory in Philippians. Knowing that Philippians produces produces Philippians produces patience, patience produces character, character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit given to us. As we go through, we are being fashioned. We are being moulded. When do you shape metal? When it goes through the fire. This is Bible. When you bend wood, when it's moist, when it's gone through a process, steamed or whatever, when it's pliable, when can God do something in your life? When we're pliable. And the problem so often you and I is we don't want to bend. We're so English. Because we don't want to bend, guess what? You have to go in again. Yeah. And some of you have been going in a number of times over the same issue, because all God was looking for you was to say, yes, Lord, have your way, have your will, do what you want to do, so you can shape you and make you. Mm. Yeah, that's why you're around. You haven't got lost. I remember, we've got time with family, we can enjoy ourselves. We got lost once, my wife and I, out on the fens. you got the dykes, dead at night, you've got the dykes on the side of the road, you've got the stairs if you're going to fall in. Let's get something past the same phone box. You go past the same pub, the same phone box. And where were we going? I knew the town, I knew this town. But I didn't know that, so we pointed towards that. I need to find us another one out on the fence. And we're driving around. Then catch a gaze. And that's why you and I so often go round. Where are you, Lord? I'm where I've always been. Waiting for you. But anyway. That's why, in the midst of all of this that's going on in our life, we rejoice. Say rejoice.
Rejoice.
We glory, it says. Now that word glory there, I can actually read rejoice as well, in our tribulations. So we rejoice that the testing of our faith, which is more precious than gold. Now I'm going to talk very briefly about faith, and then I'm going to give you some pointers, maybe, I hope. Remember, you may have heard this saying. It comes from Romans chapter 4. Faith calls those things that are not as if they were. So that when God said, mountains be, the mountains didn't actually exist, but God said it. All those things which were not to be fair. Is that right? See, because we're very good at speaking of things that are. But faith calls those things which I'm going to be. That's why Bible hope is not like, I hope it's going to rain on Wednesday. Bible hope says, God has said it, it's going to be. Now, when you go through your crisis, this is faith. This is faith. Faith calls those old things, calls those things that are, calls those things which. Faith calls things that are not as if they were. We do not deny that we're in a crisis, but we deny that this is how it's going to end. So your children not going on with God? For now. You're struggling financially? For now. Your body's giving you whatever? For now. But this is not the end. I believe God. God. And if you wanted a real good text, Acts 27, Paul's in the boat, the boat's going down, an angel appears to him, he stands up and says, "Be of good cheer, men, for there's still by me an angel this day, who would I serve to, maybe not. And he has spoken to me, and it will be exactly as it was spoken to me." Friends, and that's what faith is. Faith has a voice. Faith says God's not a throw. Faith says God is going to work it out. This is not the end of it. Because otherwise you're just abandoned in the middle of the sea of tribulation. Faith must be looking beyond where we are. Faith must be fixed on God. Faith must say there is a future and a hope. And hope does not disappoint us, because the love of God has been shed abroad in our hearts.
Amen.
That's not even what I want to preach for you, really. I'm going to have to skip over some stuff. Turn with me to Exodus chapter 14 and verse 13. And I want to give you some, So our hope, and hope of victory, I'm not going to have got time to do that for you now, is based on the victory of Christ. See, we're always looking to win the victory ourselves. It's already won. And once you can start looking at Christ's victory, and fix your eyes on that, it takes your eyes off your situation and starts looking at the answer. Christ has overcome. On the cross he said, "It's finished." Matthew 28:18, he said, "All authority in heaven and earth has been given unto me." When he ascended on the way, Ephesians 4:8, he ascended from dead captive to captive. Colossians 1:10, where it talks about he always leads us in triumphs, he overcame principalities and powers, he is ahead of them all. There's just so much to say, Christ has already won. And we need to start looking that way and not looking that way. Or definitely not look to that's this way. And yet, whenever you talk to people, you hear all the eyes, don't you? Oh, I. So they start talking about he. Change your focus. Anyway, Exodus 14, verse 13. Israel's in a crisis. It's got the Red Sea in front of it. Got the Egyptians behind it. You could say everyone starts with ellipses. This is a bit of a problem.
And yet there are some lessons that we can learn from this which are applicable for us when we're in a crisis. First one, Exodus 14 and 13. What does God say? Fear not. Do not fear. Why? Because fear is the opposite to faith. Fear neutralizes, faith energizes. Fear stops, faith motivates. Do not fear. 2 Timothy 1:7. God has not given us a spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Matthew 26 and verse 41 says, your spirit is always willing, your flesh is weak. Your flesh is to do with what you see, hear, smell, touch, and so on and so forth, your senses. Fear is to do with your flesh. Faith is to do with your spirit. That's why your spirit is always willing, but your flesh so easily moved. By what it sees, by what it hears, by what it feels. First thing, do not fear. Let me give you a few scripts. I like these ones I like. Isaiah 41 and 13. For the Lord, oh hang on, this is, I know.
Who's got a right hand? We're going to have a little, I've done this one before, right? I don't have a scripture. Yeah, can you just indicate by raising the hand? Oh, this one is the right hand. The one that might be put a bit straight on. This is the right hand.
All right, ready? Just in case. For I, the Lord your God, will hold your right hand
saying, fear not, I will help. And I love that, because as soon as I preach this scripture, and I love preaching it, but whenever I do, it reminds me of when I was a kid, with my dad, and we go down to the market on Sunday when we should have been in church, but we go down to the market, and there were crowds all over the place, but you felt secure. Why? Because you knew Dad had your right hand, and you knew Dad could do it. And that's what God says to us, fear not, I'm holding your right hand. You'll make it. You'll go through the crisis. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. I'm preaching better than you're shouting. Isaiah 41 and 10. Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God.
I will help you. I will strengthen you. I will uphold you. From my mighty strong right hand. Fear not. Amen. So now God's saying, hang on, I'm a big God. First he's got hold of you. Secondly, he's saying, hey.
Next one. Isaiah 43, 1 and 2. Fear not, for I have redeemed you. I have called you by name, you are mine. When you pass through the fire, I will be with you. Through the rivers, through the floods, through the fire, through the flame. Whatever, I'm there. I've got a hold of you. You are secure. Do not fear. And yet I tell you what, you go to the doctors and he says you've got the screen and what's it, and what's the first thing you do? Why? Because you heard someone dying and screaming what's it. Or you saw your granddad happened, or you heard about your senses. Mm-hmm. And you move out of faith.
So first thing that God says is fear not. This is an interesting one. The next one. Stand still. God, that's probably the hardest one of all.
I'm going to fix this. I borrow more. I can always,
we try to make it happen. Standing still does not come easy.
If it does to you, then maybe it's, maybe you're dead, but
that's kind of easy. We want to fix it. Can we fix it?
Yes, we can. So that's still just telling me.
It's our nature to want to fix things, standing still. And yet, see, the trouble is so often we get in the way of God.
The letter drops through the post. Dead. Oh, I'm going to borrow some more.
Whereas God said, maybe you could give your way out, or maybe you should just believe your way out.
Now thank God for these goodness, but my students, less than 4 weeks. That's not such a fair.
Stand still. A couple of scriptures for you, there you go. Oh! John 6 and 63. My word that gives life, the flesh profits.
Nada. Nothing. And yet so often we resort to the flesh to try to solve that problem.
Well, another one just in case. Zechariah. You know this one. If you're a Pentecostal, you do.
Chapter 4 and verse 6. Not by might, but not by power.
And yet so often, some have been trusting horses. Some have been trusting chariots.
But we will trust in the name of the Lord our God. Amen. So often we're standing still. Doesn't come easy. Fear not, stand still. Next one. See the salvation of the Lord. See the deliverance is the
that was salvation.
Deliverance is your God. Who knows what deliverance is? I learned this year's grace, well worth remembering. It's to be removed from or to be preserved through. Stand and see the salvation of God.
of God. He can take you out of, or he can keep you as you go through.
So often, who wants to be like this in coffee?
Why? Oh, God, that's too long to make. That's what we're taking out of.
But God can preserve you as you go through. Who likes one from Job? Job talks about when I have been tested, then I shall come forth as God. That's Job 6, isn't it, I think. It's in my notes somewhere. Yeah, Job 23:10. Let me ask you a question. If God took you out straight away,
where are you going to test me from? Having a test.
Yeah, that's kind of straightforward. What about this one then? Where do you get a message from? Being delivered from a mess. So if God took you out the test, and took you out the mess, you wouldn't have a test of your own message. And yet, Revelation chapter 12 says that we've never done with them and what was their test? You see, it's when you say God's good, I've proven him to be my healer. I've proven him to be my provider. I've proven him to be my deliverer. I've proven him to be a friend of sex, pastor, father. I've proven him to be a husband, to the husband. I prove it. That's why we go through. But we have to stand and see the salvation of our God.
Let me give you Romans chapter 8.
You all know this one. Verse 28 and 29.
Ponder over dinner. I believe
Jesus, fully man, fully God. Fully man, fully God. When he did not lay aside his divinity, but he laid aside the attributes of deity. This is one of those church heresies that had to be dealt with. Was he man playing God? Was he God playing man? What was he? Fully man, fully God. Amen. So when he went to the cross, he went as man. With his God. Didn't I say divinity? I see the face over there. He didn't lay aside his divinity. Fully God. But he went to the cross, fully man. Otherwise, he's God playing man, pretending to be man. So he goes to the cross as man. Therefore, as you and I, he had to believe that the resurrection happened. Otherwise he's playing a game. You have to believe the word of God. All the, thou wilt not leave your soul in hell, nor will thou leave the other one to see corruption. He knew the scriptures, he preached the scriptures, and he trusted God. That the other side of the cross would be the resurrection. Ponder that, that's not heresy. Otherwise you've got, thing you've got to think about is he God playing man, is he man playing God?
Right. Oh, the Lord will fight for you. When was the last time you got into that one? Let the Lord fight for you.
I'm just going to beat them the portion of my time. They deserve a good time lashing.
The rougher man produces.
Says it gets you into a lot of trouble, usually. When was the last time you said, God, they deserve a good slap? Are you wrong, Lord? And through great strength, I will trust in you. The Bible says, will he not vindicate his elect? Should Christ his right side? When was the last time you said, yes, I do something? And sometimes we are so busy in the middle of it all that we've robbed God of his opportunity to be God. Amen. Stand and see the salvation of your God. He will bring you out. He will take you through. He will make you one. And this is the last one. You don't like this one? Look at me. You all love me. Hold your peace. Zip. And probably we now come to the hardest one of them all. To put the lid. Proverbs 18.
I think. Yes, it is. Verse 21. Death and life are in the power of the tongue and the whip. It gets worse. And those who love it will eat its fruit. You speak words of death, guess what you start chewing on? You speak words of defeat, guess what you start? Let me give you a scripture to you. So Israel is now Jericho. God's strategy for Jericho is weird. That's why he's gone. Walk around, say nothing. Because can you imagine walking around the march of Jesus, turn to the person next to you and say, this is absolute stupid. Who's ever heard of a walk? Before you know where you are, you took yourself out of the victory cup. Hold on, and you sit. Oh, what a hell! Really? Maybe you do well to just commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he will bring you out of the dark side, and you just have to run the burden of it onto God. It's a real joy to have my friends with me as well, Giuseppe and Tina, and that honour to you. I'm sorry for that. So what am I trying to say to you? Can I give you some homework? Just in case, no seriously, because you're all going to think I'm making this up. This principle. But if you, when you get home, look up 2 Chronicles chapter 20, you will find exactly the same principle. So if you want to run into the answer, I'm going to do that. So there you are, let me run you through it. Because this is the one. Do not fear, stand still, see the salvation of your God. The Lord fights for you. Zip it, the last one. And you turn to 2 Chronicles, verse 18 and verse 21, and I'll tell you what they are.
When God spoke these principles to Israel, what did they do? What's their response? They worship. You see, faith isn't passivity, it isn't doing nothing, it's giving God the glory. It's easy to praise when you've got it. When you're healed, it's easy to praise God.
Praise Him for your healing before you get. When you've been delivered, it's easy to praise Him. Praise Him before you get. So they worshipped before it happened. For the next day. And then they looked around and said, well, these are people who are going to go out before us. Yeah, I know what we'll do. We'll pick the praises. And they send the praises. That's what it says, verse 21. Are they ready? It says this. And they appointed those who should sing, who should praise, who went before the army, and who were saying, praise the Lord. His mercies endureth forever. This is no way to win a war. This is God's way to win a war. Do you want some more? If you have time, do Acts 16. And around about midnight, God delivered them by his midnight when he heard his children cry. Round about midnight, when things were the darkest, when things were the hardest, what did they do? They prayed and sang. Pray? What's the devil? The devil just don't know what to do with you. There he is, smacking you on the side, giving you a hard time. Everything's falling apart. There you are, standing, believing, laying up with God. And then you start, hallelujah, giving God a praise. And the devil thinks, I don't know what to do with this boy, I'm out of here. Because he just does not know what to do with someone who will give God the glory before they've got what they're believing for. What do you do in a crisis? Do not fear. That's easy. Stand still. Watch God move. I've got missed one out. It's there. Why? Because the Lord fights for you. What are you going to do? Zip it. And then give God. How are you doing today?
Do you know what? I'm struggling. God, you know, tomorrow, I'm going to do better tomorrow.
Yeah. How's things working out at the moment? Well, God is on the floor. You don't deny your crisis, but you deny its power to control you and who you are and its end. Can you say it?
Yeah.
Should we stand, shall we pray? Because maybe there's one or two today in here who are going through something, and it may be something in your family, it may be something in your finances, it may be something in your body, something in your mind, something. But I challenge you today, just get faith. Stop calling things that are not as if they were. Do not allow this to determine the outcome. This is a temporary roadshow on the way to victory. I am going to see my Lord move. But he is promised. And he can. But the word is true. The thought is a little bit of fire. If for the name of Jesus I take and now my colours to the mass. I believe God. I know that this is going to work out fine. Hallelujah. And I give you a praise. Before you know who you are, your spirit starts rising up and your feet start twitching and you start giving God glory and you start giving God honour and you will be surprised how quickly the devil will just back off.
Thank you, Lord.
Because he does not know what to do with someone who's got hold of God. It says of David, when he came back from Ziklag, it says he encouraged himself in God, he strengthened himself in God. The word there is literally to hold on tight to him. He got hold of God. Friends today, get hold of God and watch him bring you out. The people of God say,
Amen.
Amen.